Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
It's Thursday, the 19th of April, 2012. Good afternoon. I'm Dean Beck. Thank you so much for joining me on the line today. Very shortly, we will have a chat to the National Director of the Australian franchise of the It Gets Better project. Jamison Parker will join us with quite an interesting revelation. Sadly, there are groups here in Melbourne that have been criticising the It Gets Better campaign and actively trying to bully the local representatives. Jamison Parker will join us to share his frustrations with regards to a project that ultimately is designed to make us all feel better. Tom McFeely is the proprietor of the Peel Hotel. He will join us to discuss further his rather controversial door policy. It still seems to be grating amongst many within our community, and Tom will join us to explain further why the Peel Hotel's door policy is like it is. Daniel Borden is the convener of the Bendigo Queer Film Festival. He joins us to profile what is happening this weekend for Bendigo's Queer Film Festival. And James Findlay joins us all the way from Vienna. Your contribution to the program is vital, and we would love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to know what you think of the Peel's door policy. Tom will join us a little later, and he'll be joining us live on the line, so we'll be able to share some of your thoughts with regards to their door policy. Tell me what you think of the It Gets Better campaign as well. Get in contact with us. This is how you do so.
Call Joy.
1300 Joy 949. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. You want a man?
The It Gets Better project was created by Dan Savage a few years back, and it was designed to show that young GLBTI people can have levels of happiness and potential and positivity in their lives, that it will indeed get better. Well, various franchises of the organisation have opened up around the world, and we now have one here in Australia. The National Convener for It Gets Better Australia is Jamison Parker, and he joins us on the line. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
A pleasure. It's great to talk to you. You've been a busy man.
I have been pretty busy since September. It's just been all hands on deck.
Did you expect that the Australian arm of this would be as embraced as it has worldwide?
To get the campaign started in Australia, I knew it wasn't going to be an easy task. Trying to differentiate between It Gets Better Australia and the It Gets Better project is probably one of our biggest tasks.
How do you differentiate?
Well, especially with the media. The media, It Gets Better Project, It Gets Better Project, and we're like, It Gets Better Australia, because all the fundraising that we plan on doing, the money stays in Australia to help Australian youth. So before It Gets Better Australia came on the scene, all the money that was being raised was going over to the States.
I imagine that you have the full blessing of Dan Savage and his cronies.
Yeah, we're a fully licensed affiliate of the It Gets Better project. We're the first international one to get the license.
Oh, well, congratulations. I imagine that there's quite a bit involved in making that happen, surely.
Yeah, it took us about 7 months to get the rights to it, and there's several other people around Australia that were trying to get the rights as well. But it kind of just fell into place quite nicely, and here we are.
Now, many prominent Australians have lended their voice to the cause. There are videos on YouTube, even prior to It Gets Better Australia actually starting up as an organisation, there were prominent Australians lending their voice to it. Have you been able to, I guess, bring them across to your website?
We're currently going through the process of finding Australians that have already given their voice to the It Gets Better project, because of course we'd like bilaterally be able to put them onto our website as well. What we do plan on doing is at fundraising events is giving people the opportunity to do their videos there and then. I think one of our major issues is that Australians want to actually get involved, like very much hands-on with the project. And the most simple way of people getting involved is simply to make a video. We've had a lot of support and a lot of messages going, how can we help? How can we help? It's like the most easiest way you can do it is to make a video.
Now, the It Gets Better project is doing interesting things now. Like, I know Dan Savage is working on a play. Recently, San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus recorded a Stephen Schwartz song with the words from the It Gets Better campaign. The song is titled Testimony.
Yep.
These are things that, I guess, in the early days would never have been thought of, but have just evolved.
Yep. Well, it's been pretty easy for us in the sense that we haven't had to create a brand of our own. We've had to create our own identity, but when we talk to people and we mention It Gets Better, people automatically know what we're talking about.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, so we've kind of had that helping hand from the state that we've already got that reputation and that we're just a local affiliate, which is really good for us. When it comes to things like the different ideas that wouldn't have been thought of before, because the states have already done so much, we'll be looking to do very similar things to what they've already done, but we've also got a lot of things that they haven't done planned as well.
How is the support from local not-for-profits and non-government organisations of the It Gets Better Australia campaign? I'm thinking along the lines of Beyond Blue and various government departments. How are they supporting It Gets Better Australia?
A lot of government departments have been open to working with us. A lot of not-for-profits have been very wary of talking to us.
Why is that, do you think?
I think because of our reputation and the fact that we're an international, we're part of an international brand, they see us as a threat.
Really?
Well, for not-for-profit, it's very much about funding,
I guess.
And the fact that because we're all after the same funding, and in Australia there's a very small amount, a very small pool for funding.
But we're dealing with people's lives.
We are, but I can tell you that in Melbourne alone, It Gets Better reps have been bullied by other not-for-profits. Organisations working on the same cause.
This is a shocking development, Jamison.
I was just naive. I was pretty shocked when I got the call to find out that a representative from a different organisation with the same goals, the same aspirations as our organisation was bad-mouthing our project, trying to put it down, and I was like, we're working towards the same goals. I'm kind of upset and disappointed that just because we're trying to push our image in Melbourne that they have to try and put us down for it. And to me, I found that really disappointing. But again, because of the size of our brand, it's very easy for us to be able to walk in to a venue and go, we want to hold an event, whereas grassroots organisations kind of have to put in that little more effort. And I think it's partial jealousy, but partially scared that we're going to get all the funding. And that's not what we're after. A lot of our funding is going to be corporate donation. We're not going after local community grants, which is what most of these organisations live off. Because we're a national organisation, the size of our organisation is going to grow incredibly fast and incredibly large very quickly.
you're suggesting that others perceive you as a viable threat.
That they do, which is really disappointing because the way I see it is I want to bring community. Personally, I'm all about unity, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to start It Gets Better Australia, is because it brings everyone together. It doesn't matter who you are, no matter what sexuality, race, religion, like, it can bring everyone together and say, you're different, you're going through hard times, but it's going to get better. And that's what drew me to the It Gets Better campaign, is because it's not shoveling a gay rights movement down straight people's throats.
It's quite universal in its message. It's not about being gay, yeah.
It's very open, it can be very broad. The way I like to describe it to people is that when you drop a rock in a pool, it creates a ripple effect. The LGBT community and the bullying topic is that rock. They will always be the core of the It Gets Better campaign. But when you drop it in the pool, it's going to ripple out. So when it ripples out to other minority groups, people that are having trouble in their lives, other members of young Australians that are going through hard times. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. We've all been bullied in high school, and that's not just limited to gay people. Straight people get bullied as well. That's what drew me to the It Gets Better campaign, the fact that it's not a gay rights agenda sort of thing. It's not fighting for marriage equality, and it's not... We're trying to take the political arguments out of it. We don't want to associate ourselves with arguing, because at the end of the day, we don't want to argue with people. We want to come together. We want to bring everyone together and say, look, we're different, but it's okay.
The It Gets Better campaign has been criticised for being oversimplistic. And there has been a number of cases throughout the US, and indeed your own Melbourne coordinator. This is a sensitive area where you're dealing with people that are at their most troubled. How do you, as a national director, envisage getting through those sorts of criticisms?
I need to start by relaying the fact that our Melbourne coordinator died of a heart attack. On criticisms of the project in general, though, I think it's an awful way to think about it. We can't save everyone.
That's the reality of life, I guess.
Yeah, it is a reality, and it's an awful reality, because personally I'm someone that gets attached to things emotionally. I have a fantastic management board behind me that are very supportive, but they're constantly checking on me to make sure that I'm not emotionally getting attached to something, because personal cases can affect me directly, and then I'm going to be the one that's going to be calling, asking for counselling.
Which is okay too.
I'm not saying it's a problem, but it's something that I've got to be personally aware of.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, the project is simplistic because it's a simple message. And at the end of the day, if I could save one life, that would be all I could ask for.
Jamison Parker, Australian comedians have got together and put together an It Gets Better video. It's on YouTube, but we're going to share it now with our listeners.
Awesome, thank you.
So I grew up in Bundoora, which is a white bread suburban red brick town, and I grew up thinking everyone was mostly straight, everyone was Catholic, and everyone's dad played for the football teams that we all supported, because two of my best friends' dads played for the football teams they supported, so I assumed that my dad also played for Collingwood. He didn't, not even close.
Hey, it's Hannah Gadsby here. Yep. Here to just tell you all, it gets better. Not this video, it's probably going to just keep the same trajectory, but just life in general, it gets better.
I know that being young can be hard. I know that people can be horrible, and I know that school can suck.
I was at home on my computer. I might not have been on it yet. I might have been waiting for the MS-DOS to boot up. But my sister, I felt my sister behind me, and she kind of, she was sniffling. I looked around, she was crying, and she said, I've got to tell you something. I'm gay. And I just hugged her.
I know that it must be even harder if you think because of your sexuality you're somehow a bit different or a bit weird. I know that tragically, suicide rates are disproportionately high amongst young gay kids.
Hi, my name's Kate McLennan and it does get better.
I was lonely and scared and different, and that's not fun.
My nickname in high school was Brickhead, given to me by a boy called Damien, because he thought that I'd look like I'd run into a brick wall, which was nice. But now he's kind of bald and quite overweight and actually stacks bricks for a living. So swings and roundabouts, kids, swings and roundabouts.
There's some guys that might go on Facebook or they might go on the internet and write some stuff about you. Personally, I think people should be IQ tested, then allocated a certain font. And I think we'd all know then, most bullies would be riding in windings.
Pretty early on, I realised that I was different to the other people that I grew up with. I was interested in different things to them. I was fascinated by different things to them. I didn't want to have the same conversations that they were having. But of course, when you're a teenager, you don't want to be different. You want to fit in. You want to be like everybody else.
Hi, I'm Geraldine Hickey, and I'm gay. I came out about a year ago, and I'm 32. Now, so it was a long time coming, but it has been amazing. And the best thing about it is the amount of love and support I've received from a lot of friends and family and also complete strangers.
That's the thing that makes it better. Like that first time that you realise that you like have the capacity to love somebody rather than just kind of faking it through relationships with people, and when you can look at somebody and see them as wonderful and have them do that back to you, it would be a shame for anybody to miss out on that.
I just wanted to say it gets better, because if it hasn't happened yet, you're going to find someone who loves you as much as it's possible to love.
If there's anyone in your life that really loves you, you telling them you're gay or bisexual, whatever it is, isn't going to matter to them, because the only thing that they'll want is you in their lives, and they won't want to lose you.
I mean, for you right now, things might be a bit shit. Things are going to be shit, very shit, super, super duper shit. But you know what? That doesn't mean that necessarily for the rest of your life, things are going to stay shit.
It gets better from high school. It gets very good. I, in high school, did a lot of theatre. I was a very dramatic person. And I'd always try to be the centre of attention. And a lot of people were cool with that, a lot of people liked it, but some people hated that, and they would, you know, bully me for that.
And in this world, to be different sometimes means to be discriminated against, and if you're part of a minority, you can be put in danger and you can be marginalised.
Don't let them get you down, because you're a good person, you're a unique person, and you have a lot to give.
And I spent a lot of time thinking that maybe things would be better if I wasn't around. But then I realised that there wasn't just that small town, that there's the rest of the world.
School, primary, high school, wherever you're at, it's a blip in your life. It's a dip, it's a small hump.
In high school, you're just there because these are kids of the same age, from the same area. You mightn't have the same interests, but as you get older, you're going to find people that do have same interests as you, and they make you feel comfortable about yourself.
So that's why you need to be tough, and toughness means endurance. You need to be brave and you need to be proud of who you are.
Just make sure that you talk to people, anyone, because even though what you're experiencing is unique and what every individual experiences is unique, there will be little things that you'll be able to relate to.
When I was growing up, when I was a little boy, I would go into my mother's room and open up a cupboard and try on her high heel shoes and then wander around the house in them. And she'd say, Wes, take those darn things off, your dad's coming down the driveway.
And then things just got better because Ellen came out. That helped. So thanks, Ellen. Stop dancing.
Times are a little bit different. Things have changed. I still do wear high heel shoes on stage, to dress at parties, just when I'm doing the gardening, really. The difference is no one really cares now. No one really gives a shit. Which can be a problem because I'm kind of missing the attention.
The most interesting people in life are not the ones who fit in. The most interesting people in life, the people who change the world, are the different people. So don't be afraid of being different. Embrace being different, because one day you're going to want to surround yourself by the most exciting people in the world, the different people. And that's why I'm here to say to you, from my heart, it gets better.
It does get better.
It just keeps getting better.
It definitely gets better.
Life gets easier as you get older.
And it does get better.
The love and support that you receive from people far outweighs the negativity.
It does get better.
It gets so much better.
It gets better. It gets better. In fact, it gets amazing.
It can get amazing, so just hang in there.
That was a collection of Australian comedians that include Will Anderson, Anne Edmonds, Hannah Gadsby, Justin Hamilton, Geraldine Hickey, Peter Hillier, Claire Hooper, Tommy Little, Kate McClellan, Xavier Michaelides, Lawrence Mooney, Reese Nicholson, Wes Snelling, our very own, Matt Kelly, Dave Thornton and Asher Trevelyan. Jamison Parker is with us still. He's the National Director of the It Gets Better Australia campaign. That's an extraordinary tribute to the work that you are doing.
Yeah, it was fantastic to have the email come through saying that they'd done it and put it together. And when I watched it for the first time, I was so excited when I saw the list of high-profile names that decided to get on board and be a part of it.
It's good stuff. Jamison Parker, we are at your beck and call at any point in time. Do not hesitate to get in contact with us and we will help continue to spread the It Gets Better message here in Australia and support your work. Good luck.
Thank you so much. It's much appreciated.
And of course, if you are having trouble with your own depression or with suicidal thoughts, Lifeline is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number 13 11 14. That's 13 11 14. You're with Dean Beck on the line. Broadcasting throughout Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au, and you are on the line with Dean Beck. Now, Tom McFeely's door policy at the Peel Hotel is in the press yet again. Tom joins us live on the line. Welcome.
Good afternoon, dear.
Tom, you must have just about had enough of this, surely.
Oh, look, you still get a thick skin, but basically, yes, it's getting a bit tedious now.
Let's run a few things by you. You've put together a little brochure a couple of months back saying, heads up, a few things are changing here at the Peel, and we're doing it unapologetically and unashamedly, with the intent of enhancing the experience for our gay male patrons. That's language that in itself is reasonably discriminatory, one might think.
Well, one might think that. And in a way, I mean, we are discriminating, but we have an exemption to do so. I mean, the Peel has always been marketed towards gay men. Yes, other individuals are more than welcome to come in, but we make no bones about it who our target market is. I mean, the Peel is predominantly there for the comfort and enjoyment of gay men.
This message has come through on 0427 569 949 from an anonymous contributor who says, when you're advocating for equal rights as a community, it sends a mixed message to the wider community that by a discriminatory door policy in a place that is a playpen for sleeve and selfish behaviour, there is no excuse here.
Well, I mean, I always find it amazing that everyone who says, oh, look, every gay venue should become more mixed to show that everyone's equal. Well, I completely disagree with this. Why should the one safe haven where gay men can show intimacy freely and without fear, why should that change before the 4,500 straight venues change? I mean, to me, it's a nonsense to suggest that we no longer have gay venues, but in order to encourage straight venues to become much more mixed.
I guess, Tom, the confusion is there's sort of this mixed message where you say one thing and yet your actions seem to illustrate another. You've never said that women are not welcome.
That's correct.
And yet you make them wait in line, you make them feel unwelcome.
Well, what we do, and it's said quite clearly in my letter, it's all about the comfort of gay men. Now, we make anyone wait in line if we're unsure who they are, if we're unsure if their behaviour or their very presence is going to upset the apple cart. And we've learned through experience that there is much better to make everyone who's not a gay male regular wait in line until we ascertain, until we sort out what's happening inside the club. Do we know if we get the balance right? I mean, we do welcome everyone at the Peel, but they have to respect where they are.
Can I read you this letter that was in this week's MCV?
Sure.
From an old mate of mine, actually. And it says, the door policy is a little confusing. On the 30th of March, I went to the Peel with some friends, three guys, one girl. The bouncers recognised us as regulars, but as we had a girl with us, we were asked to queue before being admitted. When we did get through the door, it was some 20 minutes later, and we were surprised, even shocked, to find that the venue only had about 60 customers in it. Now, I don't have a problem with queuing, says Noddy, but if the place is busy, happy to queue. If it's not busy, why am I waiting out in the street?
Right. I can answer that one quite easily. I always put the analogy and example of it. If you were a tourist and you walk into the Peel, even if it's fairly quiet and it's the start of the night, but if you see the majority of patrons being women, surely you would say to yourself, hold on a minute, this is supposed to be the Peel, this is supposed to be, you know, a famous gay bar. And what's been happening is sometimes our regulars will bring some guests with them, they'll come in early, and unfortunately, by doing so, early in the evening, it's upset the whole balance. And that's not something I want. I don't want to walk into the Peel and see half a dozen women dancing on stage, or half a dozen street people dancing on stage. That's not what I want to see when I walk into the Peel straight away, and certainly not have the majority of customers at that time be non-gay males.
Tom, one of the presenters here at Joy 94.9 is a heterosexual woman, but lives her life surrounded by gay men.
Yep.
Her name is Shannon Power. She shares this point of view with you.
As a girl who's been a part of the, I guess, gay community for a long time, I've been insulated by the pink bats for a very long time, there aren't many venues that I can feel comfortable going to with my gay friends. And I think it's sort of pandemic to the gay culture in Melbourne in general. It's very exclusionary. The other issue I do have with the Peel is, while I acknowledge it's essential for all minorities and all communities to have places where they feel safe and where they can socialise amongst people they feel comfortable with, I think choose to be one or the other. If you want to have a place for all gay males, by all means do that, just like other places around Melbourne do have that, but be one or the other. And on top of that, I think a lot of these little rules that they have are completely absurd. If the gay to male ratio to straight to female ratio is out of whack, you won't get in. One time I was told if I didn't have a gay male with me at all times as a chaperone, even going to the bathroom, I would be kicked out. These kind of rules are just make it very hard to enjoy yourself. And I think in the greater scheme, in the big picture, I'm not sure that we can ever live equally in society if I'm being constantly excluded from the GLBTI society here that I am so much a part of, but yet still exist on the periphery of, and the rules such as the Peel sort of, I think, accentuate that.
Shannon Power, one of the presenters here at Joy 94.9. Tom McFeely is with us on the line. Tom, they seem rather odd laws that you need someone to escort you to the toilet.
Well, that's not quite true. Well, I am aware that what some of my staff do, if they see groups of non-gay males or individuals walking through the club aimlessly, perhaps, I've instructed them that, yes, please find out who they're with, because we have to watch the behaviour. Most of the trouble we get in the Peel, it's not caused by gay male regulars. Almost 90% of security incidents do not involve gay male regulars. So you have to pardon me for being a little bit sort of overcautious in that regard, because again, I'll say the Peel, we market towards gay men. Now, yes, we're part of the GLBTYQZ community, but that's not who I market towards. I market towards gay men, and I want to make that quite clear. I mean, I do feel for anyone else who comes along as a guest, but we have to understand. We can't change what the Peel's about. I think that would be wrong. And if every single queen brought along half a dozen guests, I mean, they surely have to understand the proposal. We wouldn't be a gay club anymore.
I can only imagine that if this was affecting your business, you would change your policy anyway. So clearly,
yes,
clearly it's not.
I mean, we get lots of grief over it, but I think what everyone sort of has to understand, this is the Peel. this is what we do. And I feel it's wrong, you know, in many ways, that all venues in society, we should be able to go everywhere, but we can't.
This message has come through from Terry via our email on air@joy.org.au. Terry says, I think we as a community are very lucky that we have a businessman such as Tom to provide a safe venue for us. It's his pub and he has the right to run it how he sees fit. Good on him. That from Terry.
I mean, look, I've had an immense amount of emails and telephone calls and comments of support about this. It's been quite overwhelming, actually. And look, don't get me wrong, I feel, you know, we often get comments from some of the straight women who come along as guests, and they say, oh, they love the appeal and it's the best club for them and enjoy themselves and they wouldn't want to go anywhere else. Well, it's not my fault that again, the thousands of straight venues don't provide a safe place for women. It's not my fault that there's not that many lesbians out there who want to do a lesbian bar and run it successfully. I mean, about the whole just make it men only. When I helped obtain the exemption for both the Laird and Club 80 many years ago, I specifically did not get a men only one for the appeal, and I'd done that to allow gay men to bring their fag hags, to allow gay men to bring their friends. And unfortunately, I mean, if everyone would much prefer it, the appeal is not about making it men only. It's about allowing gay men to bring friends with them, as long as those friends respect what the appeal's about, and as long as we don't get overwhelmed with them.
And finally, Tom, this message has come through via our front desk saying that this is purely a publicity stunt, and yet again, Tom McFeely is getting more freebies.
God, publicity stunt. I mean, look, it's something we've had the same policy for years. It's unfortunate that there's a generation coming through who do not respect what the appeal's about, and they will argue with me. I mean, most straight people who I talk to at the door understand what we're about. Most lesbians understand what we're about. And some of the young queens who think, well, why can't I bring in half a dozen of my straight little fag hags? If every gay chap done that, we simply wouldn't be a gay club.
Tom McFeely, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, and thank you, listeners. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, just when you thought it was safe to re-enter the cinemas, it is Bendigo Queer Film Festival time. Daniel Boughton is joining us to discuss it further. Daniel, thank you for joining us on the line.
Thank you very much for having me.
Why would we go all the way to Bendigo to watch a queer movie?
Because we've got some fantastic films. It's a wonderful city, Bendigo.
Oh, I was there for Easter.
Yes. Well, it's a completely different place at Easter.
It is. Yes, it is. That is true. Bendigo Queer Film Festival, how many years now?
9 years. 9 years. Well, this will be our ninth year, so been a lot. It's the longest running regional queer film festival in the country and the only one in the state.
And it is done with the support of Melbourne Queer Film Festival. They help you out with a number of things.
Yeah, they provide all of their curatorial services, which is just fantastic. Being such a small film festival, it wouldn't be possible for us to select the films from around the world, and they provide that fantastic support to us.
So basically you just need to turn on the projectors and get some bums on seats?
Oh, if only it was that simple. No, look, we do a lot of promotion of the festival. I guess it is getting the bums on seats, but there's a lot of promotion for the festival. Putting on any sort of event takes a lot of involvement from the community. We're lucky that we've got such fantastic support. 9 years it's been running, so yeah.
Now, what can we expect for this year's Bendigo Queer Film Festival, and when does it all kick off?
All kicks off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Our opening night film is Cloudburst, which was a sellout success at Melbourne Queer Film, so I'm sure there's lots of people that'd love to see it again or want to see it for the first time. Our opening night session has actually sold out, but we've got another session on at 6:30 on Saturday night. Following the opening night film, we've got the fabulous after party or opening night party after the main film. That's at Icon in Bendigo, and Jay Burnett will be up for that. And then Saturday's just jam-packed with films all day.
And it's just for the weekend, is it?
Just for the weekend for films. We've got an art exhibition as well, Queer Country, which has been on for the last the last 3 weeks, and that finishes up this weekend as well.
And, of course, the Grace Kelly exhibition is on in Bendigo, so worth going up just for that.
As if you didn't need enough.
Exactly.
You didn't need enough reason. The Sunday's all free for people that are coming up, and look, that's just a fantastic exhibition that's brought so many people to Bendigo. Unsurprisingly, it's well worth going to.
Absolutely. So if we knock off work at about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 4:30, we could make it in time for a great weekend of movies.
Oh, look, well and truly, there's an express train that's about an hour and 20 minutes, or you can take one of the relaxing, slower trains that takes a little bit longer and stops at a few more places along the way, but well and truly in time to get up to Bendigo, have a great weekend, a nice relaxing weekend as well, and there's a real community spirit around on that weekend too.
Absolutely. Now, where can we find out the full program of events and what movies are on and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, all the information's available at our website, which is www.bendigoqueerfilmfestival.com.au. You can book your information on ticket bookings through there, where you can buy tickets, and also the venues as well.
Daniel Boughton, thank you so much for joining us on the line, and you have a fantastic weekend of movies.
We will. Thank you very much for having me, Dean.
A pleasure. You're with Dean Beck on the line. Live from Europe, it is time to cross to the award-winning James Findlay. Welcome. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You've been a busy man. What's going on with the bus tours around Europe?
Yeah, oh my God, Dean, you have no idea. It has been so full on. So at the moment, I'm just over halfway in my training for this tour guide job on the bus, right? And it's actually a coach on a bus. I've since learnt out that there is a difference.
Oh, right. They're the fancy ones, yes? Yep.
Yeah, a fancy one. So it is intense. Halfway through. Right now I'm in Vienna. I've just walked out of a concert, which was amazing because, you know, when in Vienna, you have to, you know, soak up the culture and see a concert and drink some coffee and stuff yourself full of cake, right?
Of course.
So I'm here for one day, and then we leave tomorrow. Like, yesterday I was in the Czech Republic. We visit, like, up to, like, two or three cities in one day. Like, last week there was a day where we left Madrid, and then we visited Pamplona. Oh, no. We left San Sebastian, then we visited Bordeaux, and then Tours, and then spent the night in Bruges. So that was three countries and four cities in one day, and we get dropped off, and we, like the ones that we only visit during the day, we go around for like a couple of hours, and we have to find out all this information about what things to do and where to go and where to eat and stuff about accommodation and stuff. So
let me get this right.
Is crazy,
it
like,
is the coach just full of people like yourself that are learning how to become a tour guide, or is it are there any victims on board as well?
No, there's like 25 of us all trainee tour guides.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It's the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we've got a couple of trainers with us, which is making things like better. But, you know, our latest like wake up is like 8 o'clock. Like usually we get off at 7, we have breakfast at 7:30, and then we're out of there by 8. Like it's insane. At night, then we have to go and do things with like, with supplies and stuff. So last night we were taken on a walking tour of Vienna during the night, and then they took us to a authentic Viennese kind of restaurant, and we had schnitzel and apple strudel, and that's my job right now.
Being wined and dined throughout Europe. Wow, it must be tough.
I know, right? Well, yes, I have put on a little bit of weight, but...
Now, tell me, is there a couple of things? What are the other 25 like, firstly? How are you coping with them?
Only some of them were like, okay, let's put it this way. We're all kind of the same kind of personality because that's why we were hired. So today I'm glad to be just by myself for the day because some of them I just can't stand. naturally, right?
Right.
But there's a few, but the rest of them are absolutely fantastic. So it's good. We're getting on like really well, like a little family. But of course, you get your couple of douchebags. But you know, it comes with the territory, Dean.
And have you got any?
You know, you work in the media. You know what it's like.
Have you got any sisters on board?
No, I'm the only gay. Actually, I'm the only gay on the whole damn network.
What?
So yeah, it's I've got a positive fag hags, of course, which is fantastic. But yeah, no, only gay in the network. There's a couple of, you know, apparently that has maybe questioning, but I haven't discovered them yet. But now, at the moment, only gay.
When you go into the real world of having paying customers on your coach, is there any rules as to extracurricular activities?
No fraternising with the passengers.
Uh-huh.
But apparently there's a big end-of-season party where all the passengers and all the guides, like, all get together. And when I say get together, I mean morning one word.
Right. I see.
So, anyway, but it's been... Because we've been so full-on and been going from place to place to place, I only talked to my first gay person, like, last week for the first time in, like, 3 weeks. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's been impossible to get in contact with you for the last 4 weeks. I have been trying, as you know.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even spoken... I've spoken to you more than my mother, for God's sake.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I am. It's fantastic. I just can't wait to start and have real people on the coach. Like, it's going to be great because I've learnt so much already. And by this morning, I went to a... like, the things that I... Like, riding bikes through the Louvre and, like, as in push bikes. And I went up to the top of the Eiffel Tower and... That was my job for the day, and seeing all these museums and pub crawl in Amsterdam we all had to do, which was insane.
And being part of the coach team, I'm sure you're looked after everywhere you go.
Yeah, we are. Like, everything's pretty much paid for except for like lunch, and they give you an allowance for dinner, and you have to go and find out what you have to go and find out where the cheap eats are, because everyone on the coach is going to want to find out where good food is for not much money.
Well, that's part of the challenge, I guess.
Yeah, which is good in itself, and as I'm going along, I'm just making a little diary of where all the gay places are. So when I come back. Or if I have, you know, sisters on board, I can point them in the right direction.
So have you visited any of these gay places yourself yet?
No, I visited one gay bar in Bruges. But the thing was, like, I went out in Bruges because I really needed to check out this cherry beer that Belgium is famous for. Like, Belgium create over 500 different types of beer, which is incredibly insane considering, you know, how small that country is, and they're very famous for their cherry beer and like other fruity beers. So
yes, no pun intended.
A gay bar, no pun intended. went to the only gay bar in Bruges, because Bruges is pretty tiny. But there was, and I was chatting to the guy behind the bar, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, it's kind of the only one because we all go everywhere else these days. Like, you know, gays can go anywhere," which was interesting, and that's like. Pretty much the only gay venue I've been to. I spent the day in Barcelona, but I couldn't go out at night because we had other stuff planned. And as we know, like the Spanish like sleep all through the day and only live at night, and the gays are even worse than that. So I visited the gay sector during the day, and of course it was just like tumbleweed.
What a waste of time.
I know.
How much longer have you got of your training?
Well, the final day is at the start of May. And so I don't even know what day it is today, let alone what date it is. So
it's Thursday the 19th today, so you've got a couple of weeks left.
Okay, got a couple of weeks left. And we've still got to go through Italy, so that's pretty much what the last leg is. And then we spend the last few days in this little tiny village in Switzerland, and it's known for its water rafting and skydiving and stuff, so that will be pretty amazing.
Adventure activities.
But, yeah, adventure activities in Switzerland.
Now, we get a lot on the news here about the current economic crisis and how Europe is battling to get through that. Is it something that you're able to... are you experiencing that over there?
Recently, I've just noticed, like, because I was in Prague yesterday, for the past couple of days, and it used to be really kind of Eastern, like it was behind the Iron Curtain. It was controlled by communism for for, you know, so many years, and now it's just a tourist hub, and, you know, everyone knows kind of Eastern Europe to be a cheap area, but Prague is definitely not like that anymore. It's really kind of not even Eastern Europe anymore, apart from the fact that they're part of the EU, but they don't have the euro, which is probably a good thing for them. But the last I heard, because I haven't really been in touch with current affairs for a few weeks, the last I heard, you probably know more than me, for God's sake, but that Germany was bailing out Greece, but gosh, they're such a mess. And then Italy, don't get me started on Italy. But, so I don't actually know what the latest is, because I've got my head in history and science.
Right. Well,
I could tell you, like, about World War II and Hitler for 20 minutes. But...
Well, the latest is that Spain isn't as bad as it was. Things are looking a little better there. Not a lot, but a little. Every little bit at a time. Do you go back to London before you head off on a real version of this coach tour?
Yeah, I head to London just after the training finishes, and depending on when my first coach is, I will be there for, I don't know, I think like a few days or just a week or something. So then I won't return back to London until October or November.
So you'll miss the Olympics?
Yeah, so, yeah, I will miss the Olympics completely, and it's job has, like, maybe missed those Kylie concerts that she did in London, and I'm missing Madonna. Like, I'm missing all these gay things. I'm missing, like, World Pride, which is also in London this year. Like, come on!
Are you going to get to go to Berlin Pride or any of those?
Well, yeah, hopefully my timetable will line up with some kind of gay festival in some random city that I am. You know, there are 33 different cities that I visit on the network, so surely I will link up with one of them this summer. And I mean some of my time, not your time.
Now, we've just dragged you out of a concert in Vienna. What's on your immediate agenda?
Well, I'm kind of lost in Vienna somewhere. I think I'm near a university because there's lots of young people around, and it's so weird. I was just walking around, and they're all speaking English, but they're all European, so it's quite bizarre. But right now, I'm just on my way to the market because I need to get something small for lunch, and then I've got this cafe that I need to find, and I'm going to do some work in there before I think I need to check out Schönbrunn too, which is this huge. Huge castle where the Habsburg Empire kind of lived for a while, and that was the Holy Roman Empire.
Is the whole thing a little bit like a bit like a treasure hunt for you?
Look, this trip is like Big Brother / The Amazing Race. because you know, if people aren't good enough, they get kicked off, and...
You've lost a few.
We've already lost a couple.
Wow.
We've lost a couple, yeah. So if they're not bringing home the bacon, they get kicked off, and we're constantly being watched. Oh, and they set us these tasks. So last couple of days in Prague, there was one day where we were separated onto two different coaches, and then they all dropped us off individually, randomly, and they took all our maps too. So they took our maps, dropped us off in random spots around Prague, and then told us where to meet our other group members, but they told us the venue in Czech. So,
oh wow,
that means. So we had to, like, ask people where they were, like, where these statues were and stuff, like, in Czech, which, you know, was pretty difficult. But the weird thing about it was, ironically, they dropped me in the, not ironically, but coincidentally, they dropped me in the gay street. And I don't think it was done on purpose. But I knew exactly where to go because I knew I'd been there before.
Of course you had.
So I was lucky. And then there's other like challenges that they set where they get us, like we did a cruise down the Seine in Paris, and we had like all this wine to drink, and then they pick one of us to take everyone back to the hostel, and no one's allowed to help her.
Right.
So screaming children. So that's That was another challenge they set, but there's heaps of them. There was after the pub crawl, they sent us on a bike ride of outside Amsterdam, like through the Netherlands at like 8 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, it's kind of Big Brother / Amazing Race.
It sounds like you're having an absolute ball though.
Yeah, I really am. Sure, I haven't had sex since I can't remember when, but it's making up for it.
James Finlay, we've run out of time. Can we talk to you in a fortnight?
Yes, we definitely can.
James Finlay, all the way from Vienna. And we've gone way over time. Thank you to all of those people who have sent in messages regarding the Peel's door policy. I really appreciate it. Sadly, we couldn't get to all of them. I'm Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air, or you can join me tonight with Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek from 9 p.m. Till then, take care. Bye for now.
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.